Kleshas are emotional. They certainly are emotional. Kleshas include craving. They include hatred. But they're not merely emotional. They're also cognitive. There's a constructive dimension to them. So that a klesha arises within a certain set of beliefs, so to speak. So for instance, when you crave something, it's because you believe it will give you fulfillment. When you hate something, it's because you believe its removal will make you secure. So that all kleshas have both an emotional and a cognitive aspect. Usually they're enumerated separately, that the cognitive kleshas, so to speak, which are views and doubt, the views and doubt are separated from the more affective ones. But really, I think it has to be said that every klesha is both cognitive and affective. It's both a way of understanding and seeing things and an emotional experience. So you watch your mind for kleshas to arise. Well, not just for kleshas to arise. You're trying to be mindful of what's going on in your mind all the time. But as soon as kleshas arise, you notice them as kleshas. And you notice them because they are disturbing. And that, I think, is how you train yourself in mindfulness here. You train yourself for the warning light, if you like. When kleshas come into your mind, they hurt. They disturb. They don't hurt in a very direct way, necessarily, but they create a sort of turbulence, a disturbance. And you notice that. You learn to notice when your mind ceases to be calm. And more often than not, that will be because a klesha has come into your mind. So you notice that. So then it says, may I forcefully stop them at once. Okay? Enough said. But it's not, is it? If only it was that easy. It's not that easy to stop kleshas. They have a great deal of spin to them. They've got a great deal of power. And we've been cultivating them for eons. And they become sort of bred into us. They're kind of deep grooves within our minds down which they roll quite naturally and spontaneously. So stopping them isn't that easy. I mean, sometimes you can be fairly clear what's going on. You know a klesha is there, but there's nothing you can do. You can't stop it. You can't even maintain proper awareness of it. And your mind is going on to the promise, as it were, that the klesha holds out to you of, you know, satisfaction when you fulfill it, or, you know, the removal of unpleasantness when they've gone, or whatever. So it's not that easy to stop them. And in some ways, I think this language of stopping them is a bit unhelpful, unless you've really got quite a bit of mindfulness and grasp of how to work with your mind already. So I thought more and more that actually what you need to do is recognise that the kleshas are the unhelpful and potentially damaging sort of aspirations that arise because you do not really understand what's going on within you. And you don't really understand where your best interests lie and even what it is that you really want, what it is that you really need. In the language of NBC, that the kleshas represent the formation of an emotional strategy for dealing with an ineffective emotional strategy for dealing with unmet needs. So because you haven't really understood yourself, because you haven't really integrated yourself and seen what's going on within you, you formulate this sort of knot of emotio cognitive urge, because it's also got a volitional dimension to it. Kleshas are karmic. You form this mind that will, you believe, meet those unmet needs. Because you feel unsatisfied, because you feel unfulfilled, because there's things that you want, even that you could say you need, and you're not clear about what they are, and you don't really know how to satisfy them, you formulate, according often to habit patterns, you formulate a kind of urge, which is unskillful, in the sense that it will hurt both you and others. It will hurt both me and others. If you follow through the strategy implicit in that klesha, you will certainly hurt yourself and very likely hurt other people. So if you, again, you know, the kinds of unskillful things, well, it's not unskillful, it's hardly the word for it, evil things that we're hearing about, they emerge from klesas. They emerge from the emotio cognitive urges that themselves represent unsatisfied, unmet needs, a failure to understand one's own real motivations and desires and even values and interests. So to me it seems that the way to stop kleshas, if you can't just do it by, as it were, kind of thinking, oh, I don't want to go down that route, is to try to sink below them. First of all, to simply accept the feelings that are implicit in the klesha, that is the vedana vipakas, the feelings in the technical Buddhist sense of the hedonic sensations, if you see what I mean, of pleasure or pain, happiness or unhappiness, and just to accept those feelings without formulating strategies for escaping from them. So you just try to stay with those underlying feelings, the feelings which are the trigger for the emergence of the klesha, because a klesha is a karma. It's the equivalent in the wheel of life of trishna. So you cross over from the vipaka process, which ends in vedana, to the karma process that begins with trishna. So you drop back to the vedana. You drop back to the pure hedonic sensation. And you contemplate that. You consider that. You try to understand what it represents, what needs it represents, what really is the fulfillment that is being sought, or that is the real solution to that that sensation, that feeling. So I think that the language of forcefully stopping them at once, it sounds so easy and so pat, but in some ways it can be quite almost destructive, unless you understand it in a more sophisticated way, as meaning a deeper understanding of yourself. Otherwise, the language of stopping kleshas can lead simply to repression, simply to the forcible suppression of your own inner working, so to speak, and the escaping from what is really going on within you. So I would rephrase all this. in my actions may I watch my mind. And as soon as these complexes of emotion and volition and cognition that we call kleshas appear, because and we recognize that because we sense their disturbing quality, we recognize that if we allow these kleshas to run, to have their way, they will deepen our suffering in the long run, and they will very likely lead us to harm others. And we try therefore to see what's going on beneath it, what is really at stake here, what is the urge or the need that the klesha represents the frustration of. Now there's a lot more that could be said about that, and that's probably, well, that is enough for tonight, but maybe tomorrow I'll return to this point, and well, not tomorrow, on Sunday, and you can reflect a bit if you like upon it. So what we've learned today is three sets of practices, if you like. The first is the constant attempt to cherish others by trying to recognize them as beings who seek their own fulfillment, just as we seek our fulfillment, and trying to cherish them by finding for them what will really give them fulfillment. And we try to overcome our natural tendency to see ourselves as the most important being by deliberately putting others in front of us, above us, before us, and trying to serve them and put ourselves, yes, at their service. And indeed, we can remember that really they are worthy of our service because they are the route to our self-transcendence. And then finally, that we keep a close watch on our minds to look for those complexes, those disturbing complexes that lead us to act in ways that harm us, both directly and indirectly through the workings of karma, and very likely hurt other people too, because they lead us to act in ways that harm others. And we do that by trying to understand more deeply what's going on in those kleshas, allowing ourselves to feel the hedonic sensations, and trying to understand the processes that work behind them, see what the real needs are, and find more satisfactory ways of dealing with them. So that's our 45 minutes for tonight. We'll carry on Sunday and Monday. And tonight we're going to have a puja at 8:30 for those that want to stay.